Hello and welcome to the February 23rd edition of Mr. Joe's Bipolar Podcast. My name is Mr. Joe. This is my neighborhood. This is my life. But this is our podcast journey. Welcome to Mr. Joe's Bipolar Podcast. All right, I think that sounded smooth. I have a feeling I know what I'm doing now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Mr. Joe's Bipolar Podcast. My name is Mr. Joe, and it is awesome to have you here with me today. And of course, it's always wonderful to be out there with you as well. So here we are. We're back. And I wanted to start by talking about my audience. That's the most important thing. That's what I want to talk about today. First and foremost. And that's that last time I'm going to say that. This entire podcast. But I want to talk about our audience. Because I put out one episode yesterday. And I woke up. And I just listen. This may not sound like a lot to some people, but you know, for somebody who is just hanging out in their house doing a mental health podcast, waking up to 87 emails. That's a lot of emails. Now listen, I get emails all the time. It's amazing how many people still listen to the show, even though you know, if you really were a new listener and you took a good look, you'd see that the last episode was a long time ago. So, you know, that's a turnoff to a lot of people, but many, many people still stuck it out and they went through the whole show. So I would still get emails from people and I would get emails from listeners that I know, have been around for a very, very long time. But I woke up to 87 emails and you want to know something? I read every single one of them, and I want to thank you all. There was one in particular, and I don't use names, but the way this person made me feel. Now, there are no words to describe the amount of, how do I even say it? This person basically thanked me for saving them to some degree. You know, having the podcast has helped this particular person move on with their life. That's really what was conveyed. And my God, this person had some awesome compliments. If I was running a commercial and, you know, somebody was trying to sell Mr. Joe's Bipolar Podcast, quite honestly, I would have some of this person's quotes because they were so inspiring, so amazing, and so wonderful to hear or read for a person who, quite frankly, doesn't like themselves. And I'm not talking about my audience. My audience, you guys are doing well. But me, as well as I may be doing mentally, there's still a mental health aspect that goes on in my life. And I don't perceive myself as very much. And I know that sounds crazy. And I swear to you, I am absolutely not seeking some kind of attention. You know, this is not my mom working her magic. I perceive myself, and this is going to blow you away, guys, so physically unsettling with the way that I look that I believe it impacts my brain. And the way that I look, I don't know if my perception of it is accurate. So that's a good start. For the very least, I mean, you know, knowing whether or not it's accurate, but I could tell you what I feel. And what I felt was reading this email over and over again, this one particular email. And you, I don't know if you know, there were some really nice, wonderful, complimentary emails and that I received, but nothing like this. I mean, this person went on to say some wonderful things about how well of a podcaster I am, and I'm going to leave it at that because I would feel conceited and overconfident, maybe if I read it, out loud. But the problem is I keep it all in, and I've always kept it in, and every time I'm offered some kind of a compliment, and I know this is going to sound sick, sick, I feel happy that I helped a person because that's all I care about. I said it today. I said it to a male nurse in my pre-op. I said, it's all about saving lives. That's it. That's all it's about. But for some reason, and I forgot what I was saying already, but I know the point that I'm getting to here is that, what it comes down to is I have a mental illness in the aspect where my physical appearance, my face in particular, forget about it. Somehow, some way, when somebody compliments me, I am somewhat aware of some of the good things that I am able to do, like speaking in public, and I don't even perceive it as good. I just perceive it as, wow, he could do that. Because it's a lot of people have a fear of doing that. So I don't perceive it as good, but the feedback I get is often great. It's temporary. That feeling of it is temporary because I say, all right, well, that's nice, but oh my God, look what I look like. Look what I look like. A lot of this has to do with age, too, guys. I am not happy getting older. I'm not. I mean, I look in the mirror and I'm disgusted. And my body, even through this whole process with my back, I've been going to the gym. I've had no choice because that actually was the only thing that would loosen me up and allow me to even move on with my day. I would do the elliptical. I mean, guys, I swear to you, and I'm not going to get into it, every step I have taken over the, I'd say, the course of the last month has been a 10 out of 10 in pain. Now, before that, I was like that. I would go several weeks, 10 out of 10 in pain, and then there'd be like a little down, like I'd be like, all right, here we go. I got a little break here. Nothing has worked. Obviously, again, I was born with it. They are doing some, they're going in and they're taking everything out, basically. So, because whoever has women who have spoken about sciatica, my dear God, down both legs, into my feet, I mean, it's crazy. How did we get over here? But let me backtrack. I get these compliments, and it immediately goes to, oh, I think I was talking about my physical appearance. I was going to the gym. See, listen, thank you. I should thank my audience from the bottom of my heart for dealing with this wackadoo memory that I have. I'm very, very sorry. But again, going back to the gym, all along I've had to do something. And now, unfortunately, over the last month, I mean, I fell in the shower this morning. I mean, it's bad. That's how bad it is. But I had my pre-op today, and I brought up that nurse because here I am, and I speak about my body and how I don't like it. And this guy, who was the same nationality as me, well, partly of what I am, the compliments this guy gave me were so amazing. I mean, about my physical condition to the point where, guys, before I left, I wrote him out a whole workout thing, because I wanted him to change it up. I wasn't happy with the way he was doing things. Now, listen, guys, I'm doing things with 20-pound weights. You need to know that. It's all 30 reps, 20-pound weights, maybe a half hour. weights that are literally 20 pounds. It's all I could do, but I had to do it to move my body. So for years now, since we've last spoken, it's been 20 minutes of stretching, half an hour of elliptical, half hour of 20-pound weights, going through the motions, pretending to work out as a weightlifter. And then to get this compliment today is somebody who has absolutely no confidence, no self-esteem, feels not worthy of anything when it comes to the way that I look and my body. To get this compliment, you would say, "Holy, holy moly!" That was I had to. I don't know why I went holy moly there. I actually wish I could edit this out. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever said in all of the years, and we have 7 seasons of Mr. Joe's Bipolar Podcast. I don't know if I've ever said holy moly in my entire life. You know that? So anyway, I don't feel good about myself, but my God, man, to get an email like that, it's astounding. It really is. So I got to get better with that. I really do. I got to get better with that. I got to accept what I am. I have to accept these things. Okay, so now let me explain this. You have these what do they call them? Labia folds or something along those lines. I just look old, guys. I look old. I feel like I look old, and people say that I'm crazy. You want to know what's the scariest of all? Hear me out on this one. How sick is this? It's been years since I've seen my mother. Years. And the saddest thing of all is the very last physical interaction with her I had. Now, she had not seen me for years before this visit. And I don't even know if I spoke about this visit, how she ended up calling the police on me. I have to take a drink. Excuse me, everybody. How she called the police on me. That's a whole nother story. We'll get into that, I'm sure. I'm hoping that at some point in time I was able to bring that up through the years. But my last physical interaction with my mother, she left me with the emotional scarring of letting me know, "Oh, you look so handsome, but oh, I see your cheeks. You lost a lot of weight. Oh, my. Thanks, Mom. Thanks. Yeah, that's exactly what I expected to hear from you." Now, I went in knowing that I looked different. Knowing. And that was the last we spoke, other than, unfortunately, well, the last physical interaction. Any other interaction that I had with my mother through hearing her actual voice has been on voicemails, and my goodness, guys, they're all the same. It's all, I mean, it's still happening. I literally got an "I'm sick, going to the hospital, I'm dying" message, and then within an hour, I got a "You mother effer, I'm gonna kill you." I mean, you have no idea. So that still goes on, but that was my last exchange with my mother. And she made me feel, she confirmed the fact that what I see is real. But also, what I have to understand is that it happens to everybody. So I need to get over this because, listen, whether it's any kind of mental illness, it doesn't matter. It really has, it doesn't matter. It always, in the beginning, when you're going through the hell that you're going through, there seems like there's absolutely no light at the end of that tunnel. Functioning, walking, simple chores, simple daily tasks are impossible for some of us. I mean, do you know how many times I've asked myself, like, is mental health curable? Like, can this be cured? And I want to say right now that it can't be cured, but it could be controlled. It could be controlled. But you have to have self-esteem. You have to build your confidence. I mean, listen, we know what mental illness is. I don't have to get into the exact definition of what mental illness might be, okay? And It's scary when we're in a situation in life where we think there's no end, where we're never going to find an answer. Battling doctors. I had to add that interlude. Guys, I just talked for like another 10 minutes and the podcast cut off because I got so excited. I swear, I must have gotten so out of control with how I was talking about building our self-esteem that I actually must have hit the stop button. That's how insane I was going about our self-esteem. And really, I don't even know if I went into this, but 87 emails I received. 90% of them, people were doing better. And I probably said this already. I don't know if I said it, but it'll allow me to get to my point. And guys, I know there's some silence, and the silence is not Mr. Joe going away and, editing things. The silence is me just baffled by the fact that one person could allow themselves to get so deeply screwed up in life, like myself. It baffles my mind. It baffles my mind to think that, suicide was once a thought in my head, to think that I wasn't worthy of, being a father or being a husband. Kills me. But 90% of 87 emails, and that doesn't mean the other 10% aren't doing well. 90% of 87 emails that I received indicated to me that they are now moving on with their lives in a productive manner. You want to know something? Some of them thanked me for helping them along. And I know, I get it. I get it, man. It's awesome to have somebody in your ear. If you've been able to put up with me for all these years, it's pretty cool. I do it too, guys. I find something that, I listen to a lot of podcasts on schizophrenia, if I'm being honest with you. That's usually what I do. When I lay in bed at night, I search schizophrenia because that's not something I really get too in depth with about you guys, only because I feel like my listening audience is more about that struggle of, that depression. Not, and this doesn't mean that people with schizophrenia don't get depressed and anxious. It's all part of it. But I just feel like my life experiences match up more with our audience in terms of how to overcome the general feeling of, no self-worth as compared to the general feeling of having psychosis and seeing people. I talk about that, but it's not going to be number one on my list. I'm real life. I'm real life, man. You know that. And I love the fact that I've helped some of you along. I think it's amazing. But the most amazing part of all is that 87 emails, guys. I know I keep repeating myself, but 90%, at least 90%. And again, the other 10% didn't indicate that anything is wrong. They just didn't get into the way that they were feeling. But these 90% of these emails, these people have moved on with their lives. They're working. They have their family back. They have their self-confidence back. They have their self-esteem. And it's possible. So no, mental illness is not curable. It's not. I'm sorry, but you can control the symptoms. You can get over those symptoms, and you can change your life for the better. Because I'm telling you right now, that's what this is all about. This episode is all about that. This episode is for those of you who have overcome. And listen, when I say overcome, please let's be realistic about things. That doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect. It doesn't work like that. We are still going to have our battles. Do you know? And I don't, you know, I know this is one of the Ten Commandments. I don't want to get into religious things with anybody. But do you know I say the words, oh my God, still probably 5, 6,000 times a day. And usually it's complaining. Oh my God. Oh my God, I can't walk. Oh my God. Oh my God, how many times am I going to get this kid water? Oh my God. I mean, he doesn't even clean up after himself. Oh my God, babe, come on, please, not now. Oh my. I mean, listen, I could go on and on. I really could. So, and oh my God, and God, please forgive me for using your name like that. It's not meant to be mean. It's meant to show that, you know, we still are wackadoos no matter what it comes down to. But you know what? When I walk out that door, I'm able to pull it together, and that's all that matters. And you know what? Even the oh my gods, they're a different oh my God. They're ones that if somebody really wants me to shut the hell up, I'm going to shut up and I'm not going to fight back anymore because I know what it sounds like. I'm more controllable by others now. I'm more self-aware. Except for that physical part. That's the crappy part for Mr. Joe. Some and guys, the back thing is just it's killing me. But I want to go back real quick to being it. This is for those of you, this episode is for those of you who are finally functioning well, and for those of you who need that little extra push to get out there. I'm telling you right now, if you get out and do it, you can do it. I'm telling you right now, I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous. You know, like, what is this man talking about? Like, does he think it's that easy? Well, now listen, if you're not on the right medication and you're not treating yourself, okay? And listen, if you're able to be treated without medication, if there's something that you can treat anxiety. You really can't treat depression without medication, but you can treat anxiety without medication if you choose to. And if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that again is, you know, taking your medication, treating yourself through therapy, maybe not, again, not needing the medication and able to overcome the anxiety, you know, but there are days where you feel like you can't get out there. Trust me, you can get out there. It is possible. You gotta do it though, man. You know, I always talk about exercise and how it builds your endorphins, but you know what? Getting out there and again, you gotta be treated properly. If you're not treated properly, none of this is gonna work. You know, you may have your moments, you may have your weeks, your months where things are going well, but without the proper treatment, you know, it's just not gonna work. And again, that doesn't mean that we need to worry. We need to be diligent. We need to be aware of the fact that, you know, at any time, things in life could take a real, real downward spiral and things could get really, really, really tough. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, are we able to cope? Will we be able to cope with those things? Well, I got a funny feeling that the 90% of those 87 emails are going to be able to cope. It is possible. It is possible to overcome. And again, mental illness, no, it's not curable, but you can control those symptoms. You have to build your self-esteem. You have to think that life is beautiful. Look around this world, guys. It is so worth living in this world and just praying to God or whatever you might believe in, that somehow, some way, all this crap gets fixed. And I'm not going to get political, but I'm going to tell you right now, the United States, which is where Mr. Joe is from, is in deep, deep trouble. Deep trouble. And that's not to give anybody more anxiety or, trigger your mental health symptoms in any way. We need to be aware of that. And you know what? In order to understand it, we have to have our mental health in check. Because if our mental health is not in check, none of this crap is going to matter. What's going to happen is we're going to try and treat our mental health with that, that little pill that I thought was totally legit. But nah, I'm dead now because it was made out of fentanyl, the whole thing. So it's as simple as that, because that's what goes on. This podcast, you could talk, I could call it about self-esteem all I want, but really it's just a general podcast of talking about the many, many ways that we could screw up the long battles that we have fought and the ones that we have overcome, the success that we find in life right now. That's whether whether or not you're going to find those things is how you take care of yourself. How you are taking your medication. Are you consistent with your medication? Are you reading Google? Because if you're reading Google, and again, this is a general podcast to help us understand or to give us reminders. To continue to commend and compliment those that are doing well, but to help those that are not right now doing well. And that means taking your medication on a consistent basis. No, you can't be skipping. I know it sounds so ridiculous because it's been widely spread and said over and over again, if you have bipolar disorder, don't stop taking your medication because you feel better. That's why you feel better, because you're taking your medication. If you're not sleeping at night, you got to figure it out, guys. I'm going to tell you right now. Downing a whole bunch of sleep aids is usually not the best way to fall asleep. Now, I take Seroquel at night, so that knocks the heck out of me. I'm on an antipsychotic. Without that antipsychotic, you don't want to know what goes on in Mr. Joe's brain. But, that antipsychotic, that not only keeps me sane, but it allows me to fall asleep a little bit easier than most people, other than the fact that my back has been keeping me up. It doesn't matter what I take. You could give me a horse tranquilizer, and I think, I'd still be up all night rolling around and back with back pain. But, if you're not sleeping well, okay, and again, listen, I'm sitting here saying don't take sleep aids. I don't consider a medication that has been prescribed by your doctor that has proven to help you be successful in life. If that's what you need, then that's what you do. Try to stay away from the addictive things, because here's what it comes down to. If you are utilizing those really hardcore addictive things, I'm not saying that you're in big trouble. I'm not saying that you're mentally ill and that, you better run to the doctor right now. It just means that there's still a little something missing, because if we're not sleeping, our brains are still going, and that's not okay. Our brains have to shut down at night. It's got to shut down at some point. It's important to understand how important sleep is. Without sleep, I mean, we're really, and I sit here and I almost feel like, Mr. Joe's got to be honest. I lately have been sleeping maybe 6 hours a night, and that's horrible. But yet somehow, and this is where my self-esteem has been built. Somehow, some way, even with that lack of sleep, my brain power, my mental illness, I've overcome it to a point where I'm all right. So, it is what it is. I'm in one of those forgetful moments, to be honest with you. 7 minutes in. It's really a shame. Mr. Joe has to take care of that. I don't know what, I keep expressing it to be now I'm completely off, guys. So you might as well, if you want, you can just rewind this, then go to the end, go to the mid, because that's basically what's going on in this podcast. So I hope you at least find my voice somewhat soothing, because whether or not this makes a whole lot of sense, I don't know. What I do know is that my memory problem is really, really horrific. And something's got to be done about it. It's getting to the point where, I don't know where I put anything anymore. Everything I lose. Do you know for Valentine's Day? And listen, we're way off topic here. Here's the story, guys. We need to build our self-esteem. Mr. Joe needs to get over the physical crap that I have in my head and just deal with the fact that, no, dude, you can't see anymore. That's it. Your vision's not coming back up close. It doesn't work like that. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to be, older, but hey, look, now you can read. It doesn't work. That my face is going to have wrinkles. My hair's not going to grow the way I want it to. I'm bald anyway, I shave my head. What does it matter? Who cares? But then I try to talk myself through this, and then I look in the mirror and but again, that's a mental illness, and that's a mental illness that I have to overcome. I have to build my self-esteem. So the premise behind this entire podcast is that it is possible, even though a mental illness is not curable, it is possible to get your butt out there and get it going, and you're able to work and you're able to live and socialize. You could do all those things. So that's the premise of this podcast. I hope that I explained that well. Now, let me tell you something. The memory, just to go back, I remembered this, the Valentine's Day thing. To keep a long story short, do you know that I went into one of my bedroom drawers? I had cash in there. Took the cash out, put it in my pocket. Had planned on getting a card and getting scratch-offs for my wife. Again, long story short, God only knows where the money went. I don't have a clue. I actually got the card and I left the card open and I didn't write anything in it for the very first time because I was so beside myself. And it meant, listen, my wife didn't care, but I was so upset. I said, babe, the card itself was funny. Like Mr. Joe always writes a freaking novel, okay? But this particular card was very, very funny, so it was okay on its own, but I couldn't write. And she saw the disappointment in my face, and she's like, babe, that's okay. I don't, the roses were beautiful. I did all right with the roses, apparently. So, but no, I mean, listen, I lost money just like that. Lost money, and I have absolutely, I mean, I would imagine my plan was to take it out of my pocket when I got in my car, put it in my wallet. Yes, my wallet stays in my car overnight. My wife fights with me constantly about it. Sometimes I don't even lock my car. Now, when it's in the street, I do, but sometimes in the driveway, I don't lock it. I'm one of those people that just thinks, everybody's nice and nobody's going to get my car and drive away or steal anything. And, I mean, there's things that go on in this neighborhood. Cars being stolen. My neighbor's car across the street got stolen. So I need to pull that stuff together. That makes you wonder what kind of a whack. See, Mr. Joe still does wackadoo things. Forget about the memory. Forget about the Valentines. We all still do wackadoo things. But in the end, even though we are wackadoos, it doesn't matter because we are still fighting. And it seems to me that a good portion of Mr. Joe's bipolar podcast has really built up their self-esteem, and you guys are doing awesome. Now, guys, I put those little interludes in when things either go terribly wrong or I'm just transitioning. I'm still learning, but this is a new one. This is an interesting one. Now, clearly, I was just listening to my podcast, and as I was getting towards the end, and you could clearly tell I was getting towards the end, I actually couldn't believe my ears. There are some things that I talk about in this podcast that do not make a whole lot of sense. I am definitely rambling on and on and on. Now, I think you're going to get the gist of it, but there's another thing that I have to make mention of, and I don't know if anybody caught it, but I caught it, and it sounded so odd. When I spoke about the male nurse, I mentioned that we were the same nationality, and then I never went on to explain why that mattered. And I don't know if anybody found that to be interesting or ridiculous, but the reason why I say that is because we started speaking about health and our cholesterol and our triglycerides and started, I guess, what's the word? Not discriminating, but, pretending that, all the problems that Italians have, basically. Because Mr. Joe happens to be Italian, that's part of who I am. So we made some jokes about Italians and the way that we eat and, the way that our bodies are from our heritage. I could tell you the way my dad, unfortunately, God rest his soul, he had high cholesterol, but mine's been great. That's a whole nother thing. We'll talk about. Look, here I am, ready to ramble on and on again. I tell you this, what's the most wonderful thing of all is a sick and demented and wackadooey-ish I sounded throughout that entire thing. I said to myself, I can't wait to get back on because there's so much more, so much more that we really, really have to talk about. It is so awesome to be back, guys. It really is. With that being said, it seems like the perfect opportunity for me to do my thing and say what I gotta say and finally give you guys a break and shut up for once. But I still haven't listened back on my endings, but I'm not gonna ramble. Let's give it a shot. Let's see what I remember because I think I got it, guys. Now, if you are living with a mental illness and you're doing well, I ask that you continue to work hard. If you are, man, should I start from the top? No, because now I remember. If you love somebody or you care about somebody with a mental illness, continue to support that person the very best way that you know how. And here's the most important one. This one I don't forget ever. If you are struggling right now, if you're really having a hard time with a mental health condition or a substance abuse addiction, please continue to fight. Please continue to battle. And most importantly, as the chills, soldier on. Thank you so much for listening to Mr. Joe's Bipolar Podcast. I'll see you guys again real soon.